This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris Ello, about to
is that what you're supposed to say? Welcome back. I thought it was welcome back.
We'll hear that.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we'll hear
kicking
that.
Kicking it off.
We may hear that another 100 times or two.
Tony said Jason Locke Conforta Canfora last night or something like that. So
I butchered that. So like I said, no judgment over here.
Just a little reminder that it's live radio.
It is. Yes. I was thinking during the break, obviously with the passing of Hank Aaron, a lot of Hank Aaron memories are rolling through my head, and it didn't dawn on me. I remembered that the only person that I ever saw that had forms comparable to Steve Garvey was Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron had these huge forearms. Yeah. That, I mean, even after long after he was playing, when I met him in Milwaukee that day, that was years after he had been. I mean, his forearms looked like he could pick up a bat and swing like a 4 ounce bat if he had to.
With ease. Flick of the wrist, and the ball just took off.
He just had unbelievable arms. Just wanted to share that with you guys. Chance to win against Chris. Chris versus the fan. Got a chance to qualify for a chance to win our grand prize, a round of golf for two, a $250 food and beverage credit, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Must be 21 years of age or older to play. Scrape, we got some full lines.
Oh, we got full lines. Yes, we do. Now, let me just tell you, I have been taking care of Chris's statistics here in the game. And for right now, for the year so far, Chris is 36 for 49. Now, don't tell my third grade teacher or second grade teacher. I tried to divide that on my paper like a kid would. I can't figure out how to do it. So, Chris, you're my calculator. What's 36 divided by 49?
73%.
73%. Thank you. I need to go back to school. That's what I need to do.
No, just get a calculator.
I wanted to try and test myself, and then it was clear that I couldn't figure
long
it out.
Long division is something that very few people can do. I would not expect you to be among those.
I feel like that's a backwards, that's a backhanded compliment of some sort.
No, there was no compliment in there at all.
Oh, okay. All right. I see. All right.
That wasn't a backhanded compliment because there was no compliment there at all.
All right.
Let's get to some Chris versus the Fed.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me. This guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, Scraby, give us the rules.
The rules are you have to make it through three questions. Each question is going to get more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question. Or if he gets it wrong on the third question, you win automatically.
All right, well, let's get to our first contestant here, David. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to Gwen and Chris.
Hey, thank you guys. How you doing?
Hey, David. We're
good.
Doing well. We're doing well.
Right on.
Here we go. First question. The old GOAT out in Tampa Bay, his name is Tom Brady. How many Super Bowls has he won?
I believe that is six.
Four, five, six. Man, championships. That is correct.
That's right. That's right.
David,
that's right.
We slide.
Did we find ourselves a Patriot fan here?
Maybe.
Oh, not even. Not even. I'm a Viking fan.
Oh, sorry. Sorry to hear that.
Here we go.
Question number two.
I'm sorry to hear that. The guy root for his team in peace.
Hey.
What country does Dallas Mavericks star Luka Doncic call home?
Serbia.
Close. That is incorrect. Yeah. Hang on, David. You might have a chance here.
Slovenia?
Slovenia.
Sorry, David.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Close to Serbia. Sorry, David. Thanks for competing.
Do you guys know the capital of Slovenia?
Laka Loka Likik.
Okay. Writing that one down.
No,
it's not Laka Loka Likik. It's Ljubljana.
Oh, I was pretty in the hunt.
He was in the same letter.
In the same neighborhood.
Oh, the first letter. Ljubljana. When I was a sophomore in high school, I had to take a class. We had to memorize the capitals, and our teacher said, "Just remember it as Ljub, Ljubljana."
Okay.
Thank you.
Why are you so disappointed, Chris?
We moved away.
It's just because it's such a nondescript story that you just told out of nowhere.
Huh. Okay.
Out of nowhere. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Hello, Ryan.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much, man. You're going on right now because here's the first question. What team was Rex Grossman last active for before he retired?
New York Jets.
The New York J-E-T-S, Jets. That is incorrect. Chris for the steal.
Rex Grossman finished his career in embarrassing fashion with the what?
I don't know.
I think he finished with WTF.
That's what Tony said last night.
Yeah. WFT.
Sorry,
if you're listening to our show, you know that I jumbled the WFT to WTF.
We're doing really good on this show, though, by not calling them their former nickname. We never use that anymore. We finally have made the jump.
I'm getting better. I think I finally turned the page.
We definitely made the jump.
All right. We'll move to our next contestant, Gilberto. Welcome to Gwen
Gilberto.
And Chris. Happy Friday to you.
Hola, muchachos. ¿Cómo se encuentran?
Muy bien. Pup and Taco.
Excellent, guys. Hey, Happy New Year. And first of all, I want to thank you for an excellent show. You guys are down to earth, and all three of you make my life a lot easier.
Glad we could help.
All right, game's over.
We hope not to make this game any easier on you. So here we go. First question.
Man, I wish I could make my own life a little easier. I have to ask Roberto how to do that.
Gilberto, what number did Hammer and Hank Aaron wear during his historic career?
And my dad loved him, even though we like the Dodgers. Number 44.
Yes. Number 44. Hank Aaron. That is correct. We move to round number dos. What team did Virginia beat to win the 2019 NCAA basketball tournament?
Did we do that yesterday?
Virginia.
No.
Oh. That was just after they lost the previous year in the first round. I want to say Syracuse.
That is incorrect. Chris, for this.
Guns up, baby.
What does that mean?
Texas Tech. That's what that means.
Dang.
Guns up, baby. The Red Raiders.
Sorry, Gilberto.
Sorry, Gilberto.
All right. Chris is mowing them down once again today. We move to question number four. Michael,
question
you're on the
four.
Air.
Contestant number four. Yeah. Hey, Michael.
What's going on, guys?
Not much, buddy.
Doing well, brother. How about yourself?
Good. Thanks for asking.
No problem. Here we go. First question. I've referred to one time or two or maybe even three times at this point. What was Hank Aaron's nickname?
Ooh. Hank Aaron's nickname? Oh, it's at the tip of my tongue.
I think he said it like 30 seconds before he asked the question.
Ah, I don't know. I don't know.
Good nickname, too. Hammer and Hank.
Hank.
That's right.
Aaron. Oh, sorry, Michael.
Man, we having a tough time getting past the one or first or second round today,
You're
guys.
Making yourself up on the, what is 40 for 53?
Oh, never mind. Just keep going.
Pete, welcome to Gwyn and Chris. Happy Friday to you.
That's the stopper.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The stopper.
The ringer has entered the building. Here we go. First question. What team did Peyton Manning and the Colts beat in Super Bowl 41?
Super Bowl 41. Chicago.
Ooh, the Bears.
Good, Pete.
Is
you got
correct.
Me nervous, Pete.
That was Rex Grossman's high water mark right there, getting to that game.
How did they get to that game?
He went to WTF after.
Any idea. The NFC must have been awful that year.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. Question number two, Pete. How many gold gloves did Hank Aaron win?
Two.
Sorry, Pete. I just looked at the Hank Aaron page today when I was doing my prep for the show.
That's a good time.
Yeah, it is. He won three gold gloves.
Yeah. What was it?
It was
three.
Sorry, Pete.
Oh, okay. All right. Have a good weekend, guys.
Sorry.
You too, man.
You too, Pete.
All right. We are on to Paul, sixth caller of the game. See if he could take down Chris.
What do you say, Paul?
What's up, guys? Congratulations, Tony, on the new gig. Can't wait to hear you.
Thank you very much, Paul. Appreciate you, man. Here we go. First question. Zion Williamson played Zion Williamson played college basketball for what school?
Duke.
The Duke.
The Dukers.
Is correct.
The Dukers. Never heard of them called that before.
I know the Dukies. I've heard the Dukies.
On to question number two. Ooh, this is a good one. How many yards wide is a standard lacrosse field?
This should have been a three.
110 yards.
He said
110.
Oh, 110. Still. But this is a tough one.
I have no idea. The only way I'm guessing 53 and a third yards because that's how wide a football field is, and I'll just say it's the same, but I don't know.
Actually, that was pretty close. 60 yards. So
60 yards. A little wider, huh?
A little wider. Paul, you still in this thing? Got a chance to qualify right here. Question number three.
So, Paul, do it with the correct answer, Paul. That's how I like it.
Oh, here we go. Paul, you better get this because if you don't, I'm almost positive Chris is going to get this one. Which current MLB manager was in the on-deck circle when Hank Aaron hit home run 715, breaking Babe Ruth's all-time home run record?
So he's a current manager, but he was on deck, so he was...
Oh. Paul.
Sorry, my bad.
Wait, is he still on the air?
He is, but I did dump that.
Good.
I apologize. I don't know. Go ahead, Chris. Kill me.
<He's so disappointed. laughs> I think it's Johnny Lee Baker.
Oh, hi for a second there.
he almost threw Scravy off.
Thanks,
with
Paul.
The Johnny Lee Baker.
Did you see
Dusty Dusty Baker is the correct answer, yeah. otherwise known as Johnny Lee Baker.
Did you see the smile come over my face when he had Johnny Lee, and then it left my face as he said Baker?
He thought you had missed it.
If there was slow motion, you would see 1,000,000% how I felt during that.
Scraby had a moment of happiness there that
All
I
right.
got it wrong.
I have a new proposal for going forward when we run out of things. It's not okay. going to happen today.
Shoot.
But going forward, I think when we run out of questions and we need something, I'm going to do a number question. The closest, if Chris is closest, he wins. If the caller's closest, they win. You know what I'm saying? Like, how many touchdowns did Peyton Manning
throw? Yeah, but
throw?
What if the question isn't like that, though? What if
I will
it's
make
like a team
that question. I will make it okay. a question like that.
You're
going to
make a bunch of separate questions
for
like a tiebreaker category?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I like that.
Right now we have 1, 3, 5, and 6, Tony. Who do you want?
1, 3, 5, and 6. I liked Allen Iverson. Give me 3.
3. Okay, David, stay there. I'm coming to
All
get
right,
you.
All right, David, you won, man. Congratulations.
Yes. Good job, Chris, man. That's crazy, man.
Chris is just wearing your,
Chris
really
is
just wearing your questions out.
I thought I had some good ones today, too, and just mowed them down.
They can be good questions, and I can still get them right, or they can be good questions, and I can get them wrong. But you don't seem to judge questions that way. Your only good questions are ones that I don't know.
Right. Even if he has to ask it in the most ridiculous way possible to get you to miss, it's all
yeah.
wins for him.
So what's 40, seem to what, do what's that. 41 divided by 55?
Oh, my God.
While you figure that out, let's get to break. When we come back, Chris and I have our playoff pick'em, which he is clearly running away with at
no,
this
No, I
point.
Think I might be up there, too.
Scraby's in the hunt.
I forgot Scraby's playing. Yeah. That's right. So
I
might come
in last.
I got all
of them correct last week, baby.
Don't remind me. This is Gwen and Chris Sandiego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Here's the fan's traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
Welcome back to the program. 4:22 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Big Five is coming up in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that. Right now, though, time for Gwen and Chris NFL Pick'em. Tony wishes we forgot about this segment today, but Tony, if I have to do a round of the Daily Gambit later, you got to do the NFL pick'em now. So that's just the way it goes. Little update on the standings for the playoffs. Chris is 7-3 with 26 points. Scraby is also 7-3.
Oh, what?
With 21 points. Tony Gwynn Jr. is 4-6.
That was
Why do you do that?
That was over the top. I will
it's
admit.
Scraby. He can't help it.
I will
he can't
admit
help being a hater.
I will admit that was over the top.
Tony, you have 17 points. You still have a chance to come back, but you're going to have to get everything right from here on out and hope that we miss along the way. Scraby is coming off of a 4-0 week in the divisional playoff round. We'll see if that was a fluke or whether he can back it up in this week's AFC and NFC championship games. Scraby, a little NFL music, please.
Not the music he was looking for, I don't think.
It's all right. We'll be fine. A couple of little fun facts just to prepare you guys for the picks. Tampa Bay and Green Bay meeting in the divisional playoffs for just the second, or in the playoffs, rather, for just the second time. They met in the 1997 divisional playoff. Green Bay won that one at home, 21-7. Tampa Bay has only won 3 road games in its entire franchise history, but 2 of them in the last 2 weeks. Their other one was in 2002 when they took the NFC Championship game at Philadelphia. Buccaneers are trying to become only the 3rd number 5 seed ever to make it to a Super Bowl. New England did it in 1985. The Giants did it in 2007 and won the Super Bowl. And the other note on the Buccaneers, of course, everybody knows they're trying to become the first team ever to get to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. As far as Green Bay is concerned, 36 wins and a 6-10 winning percentage. Both of those are second best all-time in the NFL, behind only the New England Patriots. Packers are 20-5 at Lambeau Field in playoff competition. Their last loss there was in 2013 to Scraby's 49ers in a wild card game. On the other side is Buffalo and Kansas City. This is their fourth playoff meeting. The previous three all took place in Buffalo. 1967 AFL title game. Kansas City took that one 31-7 and it advanced to Super Bowl I. The teams also met in the divisional playoffs in Buffalo in 91. The Bills won big 37-14. And then 2 years later in the 93 AFC Championship game, the Bills beat Joe Montana and the Chiefs 30-13. Buffalo's only won four games away from home in its franchise history and playoff competition. The last was the 92 AFC Championship game over the Dolphins. Chiefs are 6-8 all-time at home in playoff games. They are 4-2 all-time in championship games, including last year's victory over the Tennessee Titans. So there's a little background for you guys. The picks go 4 points for the game you feel best about and 2 points for the other game. And Scraby, since you were 4-0 last week, why don't you pick your 4-point pick first this week, since you're so smart.
Oh, man. These are tough games. These are really tough games.
Well, Green Bay's only favored by 3.5. Kansas City's only favored by 3.
I wonder how many times in Tom Brady's playoff career he's been underdog twice in a row.
Yeah, not too often.
Not
probably.
Too often. My 4-point game is going to go... I think it's going to go to the Chiefs. I think that they're going to win, and they're going to beat the Bills. I don't think it's going to be close, but I do think it's going to be the Chiefs.
Chiefs is your 4-point pick. That's the game you feel best about?
Not really, but yeah, sure.
Well, you have to feel best about one or the other, so that's the one you feel best about. Kansas City, 4-point pick.
Yeah.
For Scraby.
Yes.
All right, my 4-point pick. Tony, you get to go last because you're trailing. That's the reason I'm saved
all
for last.
Points, so I got a big opposite of y'all.
Well, you don't have to. You might just be a competitor and want to get them right.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, my 4-point pick is going to be the Packers. I think I feel better about them beating Tampa Bay than I do the other game. I don't think Brady and the Buccaneers are going to become the first team ever to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. I thought the Packers handled a much better team last week in the Rams than the Buccaneers beat. And I like everything about this Green Bay squad. They got to make up for last year's championship game debacle. So that's my 4-point pick is Green Bay. So I'm going 4 points on Green Bay. Scraby's going 4 points on Kansas City. What say you, Tony Gwynn Jr.?
I say 4 points for the Buccaneers.
Oh, boy. Likes the Buccaneers.
I'm not picking against Tom. I have come to Jesus on this one. I used to pick against him religiously.
To Jesus on this one.
And now I am no longer picking against him. I think he's going to go up. If there's somebody that can be a road team and go in the cold and get a W,
oh, yeah.
It's certainly Tom. He's played enough of these cold ones up in New England. He seems to have no issues there.
No.
I like this. I think Packers defense has not been tested at all, and they are going to be tested, even without Antonio Brown. With this Buccaneers, they got a lot of weapons. So
yes,
I like the Bucs.
Tom Brady is 9-4 all time in championship games. That's unbelievable that he's played in 13 of them, and this will be 14. All right, Scraby, what's your 2-point pick? You already took Kansas City for 4, so who do you like, Tampa Bay, Green Bay?
Packers. Packers, I think Aaron Rodgers is playing too good, and I think that he is ready to get into another Super Bowl. And it's going to be a touchdown pass by Aaron Rodgers at the end of the game to put the Packers ahead.
All right, so Scraby's going with the Chiefs for 4 points, the Packers for 2 points. My 2-point pick is in the AFC Championship game. I am taking the Buffalo Bills to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. Not obviously because of Mahomes. He's playing. But I just think the Chiefs have shown some signs that maybe their time is about to come to an end. It's not that I'm in love with Buffalo, but I got to believe they're going to come up with a better offensive game plan this week than they did last week against Baltimore. They got away with it last week. Their defense saved them. A pick six saved them. Josh Allen's got to spread the ball around a little bit. Bills gave up 250 yards rushing to the Chiefs in the first meeting. They got to fix that, and I say they will. So I'm going to go with an upset, Buffalo for 2 points. Tony, how about you in the Buffalo-Kansas City game?
I'm taking the Chiefs, and I'm taking the Chiefs because the few times we saw Baltimore in the second half blitz Mr. Josh Allen, he struggled.
Okay.
The first meeting against Kansas City, that is literally all they did all game long was blitz, 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 blitz. And that was one of Buffalo's worst performances of the year.
Yeah.
I expect a repeat performance of that. I think the one thing Kansas City showed, although they may not be as crispy as they've been in the past, they certainly have found ways to win games, and I think that is a championship pedigree. I see them going back to the Super Bowl for another one.
All right, so all three of us have different Super Bowl picks. Scraby's got Green Bay versus Kansas City. I have Green Bay versus Buffalo. Tony has Tampa Bay versus Kansas City. And we got the Big Five coming up next on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time to embark on a twisting and turning journey through sports. A strange journey.
What can I do? How can I reverse this?
Sit back. Relax. Yeah, and ignore that last part if you're driving. Always have your hands at 10 and 2 with 97.3 on your radio. Gwen and Chris go through the best of the rest of the day. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five. I think I got some doozies for you guys today in the Big Five. So
yeah, you let us be the judge of that.
Oh, I will. When you guys are done with the Big Five today, you're going to be sweating from your brow. It was such a doozy. If you have any Big Five topics for us, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, IG, at Matt Scraby, at Chris LOSD, at Tony Gwynn Jr., and the station account, at 97.3TheFanSD. And the Big Five is brought to you by Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication, that's what it's like to drive a Lincoln. And Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske, Lincoln, 8850 Grossman Boulevard.
Number five.
So I got a message from one of our fans of the show, listener on IG today. His name is Rich. So, hey, Rich, thanks for listening. And he said about Hank Aaron, because, you know, he passed away today, and we talked about that a little bit earlier. But he said, hey, Matt, big fan of your show. I am so saddened today with the news of the legend Hank Aaron's passing. I've called the show before to talk about the all-time home run record. I think it's a travesty that this most revered record in baseball is not held by Aaron, but by someone who we all know was aided by steroids. I'm wondering if Aaron's home run total includes his time in the Negro League. That's what Rich wrote me. And I did check this out and found this last month because MLB finally added Negro League records to its official stats. Aaron now has 760 home runs. Barry Bonds has 762. But he has more RBIs, total bases, and all-star games than anyone who has ever played baseball. So, Tony, my question to you guys is, should Hank Aaron, now that these records are together, be remembered as the best hitter ever?
Best hitter, I mean, in terms of numbers, he certainly is qualified to be in that conversation. I mean, as you mentioned, he's won in all of the major offensive categories. But there is, I think you would get some argument in terms of best hitter ever, because that doesn't necessarily mean power hitter. That just means best overall hitter. But there's so many. The thing about it is there's so many greats, and they all came at different eras, and they all saw different types of pitching rules. It's hard to really compare the different generations. I just believe Hammer and Hank Aaron will go down as one of the best, and in some people's minds, the best to ever swing a baseball bat, to ever put on a uniform. And I think his numbers speak to that. And I mean, his contribution to the game is just really, it's hard to really match it, to be quite frank. It is a sad day. We all who are in the baseball community, who are sports fans, even people in regular walks of life are saddened today by Hank's passing. So, but yeah, he certainly belongs in that category. I don't know if you say one or 1A or 2, whatever it may be, but he's in that conversation.
All right, Chris, should Hank Aaron be remembered as the best hitter ever?
I don't know for sure if he should be the best hitter ever, but I know one thing positively, and that is if they take a photo of the best hitters ever to play, they better include him in the photo. They better get him in there. Because when you're leading in RBIs and you're the home run king, or, you know, in a lot of people's minds, the home run king, and you hit for the average that he did, and the on-base percentage and the slugging percentage and all of the amazing records that he holds, Hank Aaron is definitely one of the best hitters of all time. There's so many other guys you can include in there that it's impossible to put anybody, I think, at number one. And there's so many different ways to look at the best hitter who ever lived. You can talk about guys who hit singles and hit doubles or hit triples or hit home runs. Hank Aaron did all of those things. And like I said, he's in the photo. I'll never forget being able to watch him play as a little kid and being able to jump up and down on my bed the night that he hit the 715th home run of all time to break Babe Ruth's record. Wasn't even an Atlanta Braves fan, had no interest in Atlanta, but I sure had interest in Hank Aaron as a little kid, and watching him do that, it was one of the great thrills I had in my childhood. And you know, it's just, as Tony said, it's a tough day for anybody in the baseball world. And yeah, he's in the photo, and that's all you can ask, I think, when you ask a question like that.
Well said, both of you. Thank you to Rich for reaching out on IG. If you have something like that and you want to ask the guys, please just reach out at Matt Scraby, at Tony Gwynn Jr., at Chris LOSD.
Number four.
We have the biggest news to be released all NFL season. Super Bowl 55 will have fans, guys. Are you pumped up or what?
I'm not one of the fans, so I'm okay with it.
It's being hosted in Tampa, so Florida laws permit having fans, so there's nothing being broken there. They are only going to have 22,000 fans in attendance, though. 14,500 of those tickets are going to be released for sale, but the remaining 7,500 tickets will be given free of charge to vaccinated healthcare workers in the Tampa area, and each of those workers will also have free access to game day experiences directly from the NFL. So pretty cool deal for 7,500 of those essential workers in Florida. So with most, if not all, sports in 2020 having little to no fans, Chris, will Super Bowl be weird with only 22,000 people, or will it be weird there will be 22,000 people in the stands?
I don't think it'll be weird at all. It'll probably sound like most Super Bowls, because even though most Super Bowls have 100,000 fans, they only sound like 22,000 fans.
Right.
Because most of the people who go to Super Bowl games are just there to party and be seen. So I think that it'll be pretty similar feel to most Super Bowls. There'll be 22,000 people there. I think they'll be excited. They'll make as much noise as they can, and it'll sound like most Super Bowls. I think it's a nice touch by the NFL to include all of the 7,000 frontline workers and let them in for free. And you know, I'm happy. Anything that is another step toward a return to the normal world of sports is fine by me. But I don't think it's going to be that weird. I mean, Buffalo had some fans last week. They made some noise. Green Bay had some fans and made some noise. So I think we'll be used to it, and you know, it'll sound like most Super Bowls.
All right, Tony, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be weird to have only 22,000 people, or have 22,000 people in the stands for Super Bowl 55?
I think it's about normal now. I mean, over the last, I'd say, what, 5, 6, 7 weeks in the NFL, we've started to see fans in the stands and get a little bit more and more. And the positive thing is we haven't heard, at least, of any like breakouts in any of these stadiums. So I think they've kind of found, much like baseball was able to find their sweet spot with the players, I think the NFL is now taking it a step further. They found their sweet spot in terms of what's going to be the proper amount of people to let in. Certainly no news is good news in that situation. So I think it's normal. I mean, I watched the game last week, the Kansas City game, people in the stands, the Buffalo game, people in the stands. So I think having, 22,000 people there, I think it'll be about right.
It'll be interesting if Tampa Bay plays in the game, good, obviously.
Yeah.
That's a good
stadium point.
But
I still don't know, of the 22,000 fans, how many would they allow in that would wind up being diehard Tampa Bay fans who would really turn it into a home field advantage. I think they'd have a home field advantage, Tampa Bay, but not a home crowd advantage necessarily.
Well, you know, all of the sponsors and stuff, they'll be up in the suites area, so yeah, they'll be fine. And so, Mike, the question bolds with probably not as many, like, corporate buys this year because the stadium isn't going to be full. Will they actually open it up to regular folks to go out and buy themselves tickets? Because to be quite frank, those would be the people that are more likely to go than the corporate people, I would think, in this environment.
Yeah,
right,
14,000.
Those would be the ones making the noise.
Yeah, 14,500 right, sure. people will be able to buy tickets.
Yeah. How many? Tampa Bay, 14,500.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Number three. Padres fan and NFL expert Daniel Jeremiah has put out his first 2021 mock draft, and he, of course, has Trevor Lawrence going first to Urban Meyer and the Jaguars, but he has BYU quarterback Zach Wilson going number two overall to the Jets. Some people were like, hey, what about Sam Darnold? Well, Daniel Jeremiah wrote, quote, the Jets have a lot of options, but Wilson's upside would be tough to pass up, end quote. Tony, if you're the Jets, would you take a quarterback with the number two overall pick? And I guess you could take it a step further. Would you take Zach Wilson?
Whew. I mean, I guess you have to. I feel like the answer is this one's tough, right? Because none of us really know if Sam Darnold is that bad or was he a casualty of the coach that he had and his offense.
I think he nailed it right there.
That's the tough part because you don't know which one is real. I mean, because listen, you don't get to pick it. You're hopefully not picking in the two spot very often. And when you pick here, you want to get it right, especially an organization like the Jets. They already have Sam Darnold. Again, you don't know what he has. So maybe you draft a quarterback here, open it up for competition and see what happens. But then again, if you use your number two pick on a quarterback, by all means, he's going to be playing at some given point in time. That's usually the way it works. I think this is a much more difficult decision, especially since they don't have the number one pick. If it was number one pick, I think this is a much easier decision. But no disrespect to Zach Wilson, I think there's a definite gap right now between Trevor Lawrence and him. And maybe he'll have a chance with this, depending on what the combine looks like, maybe he'll have a chance to kind of close that gap. But right now, if they had to pick right now, I would hate to be the Jets because this would be a tough decision to make right here.
Yeah, it is a tough decision. Chris, if you're the Jets, are you going to take a quarterback with the number two overall pick? And I'm not going to ask you about Zach Wilson because I already know the answer. It's
yes,
no.
I did want to say that with no respect to Zach Wilson because he went to BYU, I hope that the Jets are not dumb enough to take him. But that's just my BYU feelings coming into play there. I don't know. I think the Jets would be smarter to try and trade for Deshaun Watson, frankly, draft elsewhere. But I do think that they need to think about replacing Sam Darnold. And the only reason I say that is because Sam Darnold was throwing interceptions long before Adam Gase ever got on the scene.
he was also just a rookie. I mean,
No. He was throwing them at USC.
Oh, and, I see what you're saying.
And he's continued on in the NFL as a mediocre quarterback. I said at the time he was drafted, I didn't think much of him. I don't think much of him now. I know he hasn't had a good team around him, but I think the Jets have to totally change gears. So, and I think they need to do something more drastic than Zach Wilson. I don't see Zach Wilson as a franchise-changing quarterback. I actually think if you're going to take a shot at a quarterback who might have a chance to turn your franchise around, I think Justin Fields has a better chance of changing your franchise around than Zach Wilson does. I really do.
Terrific point.
Justin Fields does the things that young quarterbacks do nowadays, which is run like crazy and throw. Zach Wilson doesn't have that same aspect to his game. So,
very good point,
if I'm the Jets, no and no.
Daniel Jeremiah has Justin Fields going number eight to the Panthers.
Yeah, well, that's high because I know that I think it was Todd McShay or somebody put theirs out and didn't have him going until 15th.
Yeah,
the
that's
Patriots.
Right. It was so. Todd McShay, I believe. Yeah, I remember
he
that.
He wanted now. A lot of clicks on that story, so he wrote that.
You guys don't like Joe Flacco being the guy in New York for the Jets? Come on, now.
Let's move on to number two.
Number two.
University of Detroit Mercy officials have called off the rest of the women's basketball season after players' parents cried foul about the program's first-year head coach. The parents of the entire Detroit Mercy women's basketball roster have signed a letter to the university administration claiming new head coach Anne Marie Gilbert ran a program that inflicted emotional, mental, and physical abuse on the players. The letter dated on Sunday and obtained by The News yesterday said the players... Or said the parents decided to take action because their daughters were worried about retaliation, claiming Gilbert created a program rooted in fear. So, Chris, you're going to be up first on this one. I know it's a tough one, but and we all believe in second chances. So the question is, what's the bigger issue? The coach capable of this was hired in the first place, or the university not knowing what's happening with your women's basketball program?
This is a tough one, and you're framing it to make it even tougher. I will just say this. I'm just going to say that these kids have to be heard here. That's all I can really say. It's hard for me to say everything that went into the process of the hiring of this woman as their coach, but if you've got a situation like this, the players must be heard. And the players are making a point. The parents are making a point to make sure that the players are heard. This woman needs to be investigated. This program needs to be investigated. I mean, it's got to be pretty serious, Tony, for a bunch of kids who want to play basketball to say they'd rather call off their season than put up with playing for this coach any longer.
What team?
So
is this?
It is definitely troubling that she was hired in the first place. You would have to think that they would have at least had some inkling that this could be an issue. So
it's Tony. It's the University of Detroit Mercy.
Yeah, it's okay. Where Smokey Gaines actually used to coach before he came to San Diego State. At that time, it was just the University of Detroit. But
of course, Chris would know that. But
yeah. Well, Dick Vitale coached there too.
Of course, Chris would know that too.
Well, that's not. It's really not part of the issue here. I mean, the issue here is that it's a bad look for Detroit Mercy. It's a horrible look for this coach and. It's a situation that has to be dealt with, and I'm glad that they are dealing with it, or it sounds like they're going to.
Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I think Chris is spot on, especially at a collegiate level, right? This is, it sounds weird at first when you hear parents involved, but when you hear it's at the collegiate level, yeah, they somebody's got to step in because the fact of the matter is when you do have a program that maybe ran like that, you players don't want to risk a scholarship or playing time or whatever it may be to step out. So the parents do have to step in on this, and they should investigate. They should these kids should definitely be heard to figure out what's going on. And in our experience with these, when you get a whole team feeling like this, it there's usually a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to make a joke, make light of this situation, but I don't know what's going on with coaches in Detroit these days. I mean, it's pretty soon they're going to tell us that this Anne Marie, what's her name, was biting people's kneecaps. All right, that was a bad joke, bad timing for it.
That is not.
I said it ahead of time it wasn't good timing, but it is Detroit, and Dan Campbell must be thought of here.
Oh, my goodness. Dan Campbell, I went deeper into his comments and that dude's a nutcase. He is a nutcase.
Number one.
I was on Twitter yesterday and saw something I had never seen before, and it's pretty incredible in a weird way. Apparently, former President of the United States Donald Trump had a very important button on the Resolute desk.
Oh, I saw this.
It was a red button. And some journalists were very, very curious about what the button may do. So they asked him to touch it. So he did. He hit the button, and a butler came in with a Diet Coke on a tray, and everybody's freaking out about this. So I just wanted to ask you guys, Tony, if you could have a button, what would be delivered to you?
Oh, man. If I had a button.
By the way, if you've ever seen Tony on the Zoom call during our show.
He does have a button. He does.
I believe he does have a button.
I believe that too.
Stuff shows up all the time.
You're right. You're right, Chris. Sorry. Let's move on to Chris because Tony already's got a button.
I don't have a button, guys. Man, what would I think it would have to be. It'd have to be this Mexican restaurant, El Ranchito.
They just drive over and deliver whatever you need.
If it's a button, somehow it's coming quickly. I would have three flautas.
It's a beautiful thing.
Sorry. I just drooled for a second. Chris, if you had a button, what would be delivered to you? And let me, before you say this, I think Chris might share something in common with our former president Trump because he does like Diet Coke.
Yes, I was going to settle for just a Diet Coke with some ice and some lemon. I would have been just fine with that.
If I need to bring it down a notch, I'll just say some frozen grapes with honey.
There you go. No, I'm going to go for a medium rare ribeye.
Wow.
Yeah.
Every time you hit the button, you're eating a ribeye?
Yeah, I wouldn't hit it that often, but you know, on a special occasion, I would hit it,
and then I'd wait for my ribeye to arrive. That's really, I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. Now, Jesse Agler said on Twitter, he was like, "I got to know how this was delivered to him. Is it in a glass with ice in it? Is it in a glass without ice, or is it just the can?"
Well, for me, it's got to be in a glass with ice and lemon because I don't even like Diet Coke in a can.
Okay.
I was about to say, I envisioned a can, but for some reason, I envisioned it like sliding through some like post and like some clear post and all of a sudden being right at his desk.
No. His glass just showed up and then the Diet Coke trickled down into the glass.
Yeah, that's how I envisioned it.
I'm actually sure that he probably touched that button a lot because he had 12 Diet Cokes a day is what people are reporting. Oh, and I can also report that our current president, Mr. Joe Biden, has removed the button from the Resolute desk.
Oh,
so
man, he's not keep it, button, man. You never know when he might get thirsty. Else.
Seriously.
He could have had Arnold Palmer or something, you know, something to his life.
He could have changed the order up but kept the button.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the Big Five.
5 o'clock hour, on the way. Some Kirby Yates sound. Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.